about 5 minutes to share with you guys today, and then we're going to have Rob come up and do a presentation for us. And if you haven't heard him before, you're in for a treat, because he is a wealth of knowledge. And at the end of that, we're just going to do a small round table with the speakers and Rob, some Q&A to give you guys a chance to search out a little more information if you're interested. Okay? So the first thing we want to do is get right to it. So we're going to go in the progression that you would have with an addict, okay, and their family. Okay, so the first thing that you would hope would happen is the addict wants help, but you're stuck. You don't know where to go. Well, we've got a great resource right in our backyard in this community, and here to share a little bit about that is Barb Foltz.
Hi. I'm here to tell you about the Safe Passages Program. The Safe Passage Program actually originated in Gloucester, Massachusetts in 2015 because Chief Campanello was tired of arresting people that were drug addicts. So he started this program, didn't know if it would work, decided to try it anyway, wasn't sure he could even do it legally, but he did it. And he opened the doors of the police department to addicts to come in and turn themselves in, and then he got them into treatment. So a young lady from Ohio heard about the program, a lady by the name of Nicole Walmsley, and she was a recovering drug addict, and she went to Massachusetts, and they taught her about the program. So she came back to Ohio, and her goal was to reach every police department in the state of Massachusetts, in the state of Ohio, and get them to start this program. I went to a lecture that she gave in, I think, February of 2016, and I'm like, hey, give me your information. Let me see what I can do. So I came back to Cuyahoga County. I live here in Olmsted Township. So the first police station I called was Olmsted Township. And then I called Berea. I called North Olmsted, Rocky River, Fairview Park, Westlake. Berea and Olmsted Township decided to start the program. So they launched their program in August of 2016. They had their launch where they announced their thing, like August 25th, but they had already put somebody in treatment earlier that month that had heard about the program. How it works is someone who has a disease of addiction and they want help, they go to the police station and they tell them that they need help. If they have any drug paraphernalia on them, they can turn it into the police. That's not held against them. They do an intake process where they go through and ask them questions. If they find out that they have legal obligations somewhere, they will work with them to get their legal obligations cleared up, and they get them into a treatment program, a detox if they need it, or treatment, whichever they need first. At first, when they first started out, they were sending a lot of people out of state, and the police sergeant from Berea is like an amazing person. If you ever have a chance to listen to him, you need to meet him. His name is Patrick Greenhill. And he just set out and started going to all these treatment and detox centers and going up with a box of donuts and saying, hey, you know, can you help me out here? I get these people coming in. I need to get them in treatment. Can you work with me? So that's kind of what they do. So now, it isn't instantaneous always. Sometimes there's a couple-day lag. So what they do is if they're homeless, they put them in a hotel, and they take them food and check on them until their treatment bed is ready for them to go. So with the Perry program for Massachusetts and all the programs that have started in Ohio, there's 381 police stations in the United States that are following this program. Here in Ohio, we have a combination of Perry programs plus Safe Passages programs. The Safe Passages program started in Berea and Olmsted Township. They've added Bedford, Newburgh Heights, Strongsville, Mayfield Heights, Mayfield Village, Lyndhurst, Richmond Heights, and they're soon to add Parma, Middleburg Heights, and Solon. Perry / Safe Passages in Ohio have put at least 500 people into treatment. And in this area, they've put like over 100, I think 150 into treatment since August of 2016. So, and they're passionate, and they're there for people. I had the Perry lady came down and was at my meeting a couple weeks ago, and there was a mother there that was worried about her son because he needs to go into treatment. He's waiting for a bed, but he has all these legal issues, and he's been getting bounced around from the court. So they worked with her to help him out so that he can, as soon as the bed's ready for him, he's in county jail, but as soon as the bed's ready for him, he doesn't have to go to another precinct and do time. He can just go to treatment and deal with his legal issues when he gets done with that. So these guys, especially Olmsted Falls, Olmsted Township, and Berea, they go the extra mile for everybody. So it's kind of a great place to live. So anybody have any questions?
Do they have to be a resident?
No. Okay. No, they don't have to be a resident. The only program that's requiring the people to be a resident is Lakewood. Lakewood has a program called Project SOAR, and it is in conjunction with the Cleveland Clinic and Lakewood Hospital and the fire department. So if people go into Lakewood Hospital with an overdose, they team them up with a peer support person, which is a person that's in recovery, and they work with them to get them into treatment. If they don't choose to go into treatment from the hospital and they go home, 3 days later, there's a police officer, a peer support person, and a fire department person that goes out to their house and talks to them to see at that point if they can get them into treatment. Lakewood's program right now is restricted to only Lakewood. But for right now, I mean, you know, if somebody from North Olmsted wants to go, they can go to Berea, they could go to Olmsted Township and get into the program.
So if they would, let's say they would stop somebody, or maybe they have to resuscitate someone, would they offer that? Or let's say they were, you know.
Yes. If EMS goes out and they have to give somebody Narcan, they get taken to the police station. There's also another thing that was funded by Governor DeWine that a lot of the police station, or not Governor DeWine, but Attorney General DeWine, that was funded by him, and it's a quick response. So all of these departments have a quick response team. So if they come to your house and they Narcan the person at your house and they take them to the emergency room, 3 days later, the quick response team goes out and offers them the treatment again. You know, and then sometimes that's a little tricky because hospital records, they can't give out names. But if the police are involved, they kind of don't have HIPAA, so so they have a little bit of a front door to get in. Anything else? Thank you. Okay.
Okay, so they go, they have the rehab, and they're out, they're released back, so you just leave them on their own, right? That's what we do. We just say, okay, you've had your time, you're detoxed, you're ready to just go live life, right? No. Anyone in this room who's in recovery or has been in recovery knows better than that. So they need support groups. And how many people have heard of AA? Okay, keep your hands up. How many people have heard of NA? How many people have heard of NAMI? How many people have heard of Celebrate Recovery? How about, what's the other one, Galvanized? Okay. How about Step Into Freedom? Okay. This is a great group that I've just recently taken notice of. There are more groups than this out there, too. And that's part of the problem. The support resources aren't there. That's why we're doing something like this to raise awareness. A lot of people have heard of AA, NA, and even NAMI. But there are groups that are here to support family members who are dealing with the addicted loved ones who are either in recovery or not in recovery. And then there's also support groups for the addicts when they get out of treatment. The neat thing about this group is that they help the whole family, sober and those that are working as the codependent. So I'm going to have Dave come up and share a little bit about that group.
Thanks, Cheryl. My name is David. I'm co-facilitator of Step Into Freedom. It's a Christ-centered 12-step recovery group. Some of the materials that we use is this is the actual workbook, which This is the 12 steps, biblical principle references throughout this book. This is where kind of like the rubber meets the road. Questions, we hold some small groups, kind of dive in, help the person that's seeking recovery or the family member that might be seeking healing, kind of journey with them and walk through the book with them. I think the most unique thing about Step Into Freedom is that we have just kind of expanded, and we're offering now, we have a couple of licensed counselors that are on our team, and what we're doing is that we're offering those who are coming in hurts and pains from the past, as far back as the crib, stuff that they don't really realize what's going on in, within the soul, which is the main contributor to possibly their addiction. So what we want to do is not only offer them an immediate remedy, if you would, of trying to get sober and clean, because they're hurting people now and they're hurting themselves now, but also that long-term healing. Just journeying down the past, if you would, of where these hurts and pains came from, and kind of create a stepping stone out of that captivity, if you would. And so that's where the counselors come in at. So we'll pay for half of the session. We have counselors on hand. They're very inexpensive. They've done that just so that we're able to, you know, oftentimes people come in, you know, they don't have jobs, obviously, or money. Their money was already spent. But nonetheless, we want to fulfill that space for them. We have a pamphlet back there if you want to read a little bit, but we're on Mondays. We have a full course meal on at 6 p.m. 7 p.m. We have a worship / talk testimony or lead or a teaching from various people, from anywhere from a counselor to our pastor to myself, Joey, who is here today. He's one of the co-facilitators of our Joey. You want to raise your hand? If you have any questions afterwards, you can ask Joey. He also runs our worship team and does the chemical dependency group. He co-facilitates that group. But we have men, women are able to participate there. We also have, after our 7 o'clock worship talk testimony session, we'll break up into groups. Men will go with men, women will go with women, and what that's designed to do is to get to dive into the book. We kind of like open that's right around 8 o'clock, our small group. A couple different groups. You guys probably heard of Al-Anon, family members who are dealing with addicts. We also have, that's more geared toward the women, but nonetheless, we still have opportunity for men to go to that as well. And the other woman's group is a chemical dependency group. And then for the men, we have the men's accountability group, which is more towards relationships, lust, internet issues like that. And then also the chemical dependency group for the guys. Just to give you a really quick story of myself, came from Brazil. My father was a pro soccer player in Brazil. He had everything he wanted, anytime he wanted. So I developed he was kind of like my idol, so I wanted to do what he did. So I wanted to be a star. I wanted to have all the things that he had. And I also was, trapped in this egotistical, fulfilling my personal selfish wants, and everybody, no one else mattered. So love and self was neons apart. I had no capacity to love. And so the goal of this program is to get people to understand that the filling of self in every aspect of the word is the kind of the journey and the road to using, to despair, to depression. But the goal is to love, right? To get out, to become healed, to get to a place of understanding who we are, our weaknesses and our strengths, mending those, kind of connecting those together for our true identity, taking off the mask of who we want to portray and putting on our true identity and accepting those. But also, not only accepting them, but doing something about it and having tangible resources and some sponsors, connecting people that might have the same issue to connect, telephone calls and meeting together, after the meeting or throughout the week. So there's a lot to this program. If you have any more questions after this session, then feel free to come and ask me or grab a pamphlet in the back if you have any more questions. Okay.
Now, I might be a little prejudiced with this next group. this Families Anonymous was very much a catalyst for me in 2011 and really starting my journey and beginning to understand how addiction works, and not just the emotional side of it, but the fact that there's a predisposition, it's an illness, that most people are dual diagnosed. All these things I learned there and more, but today I'm not speaking. I've enlisted a couple that's been coming to our group that meets here on Monday nights for a little over a year, and just seeing their growth in that time has just been so encouraging, and they have a great story to share. And it's Kim and Bob, and Kim's going to share from the home side. Bob's going to share from a professional side on how the support group is helping them in every aspect of life.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is not my comfort zone, so here we go. I'm Kim, and this is my husband, Bob. I first came to FA, Families Anonymous, in October of 2016. Our daughter, Molly, is what brought us here. Today, Molly is doing well. Molly is 21 years old and is currently working her recovery. And I did ask her to join us today, but she wasn't able to, so I'm a visual person, and I brought her with me. This journey has not been easy, but with the resources available, we have been able to work our recovery, which I believe empowers Molly to work hers. When life takes you to a point where you do not know how to deal with the chaos, the crazy, and the insanity, we have a choice. Life is about choices. Bob and I chose to seek help. Today, I am so grateful that I have the family support from the beginning. A big thank you to Bob, Nicholas, and Connor. Families Anonymous has been truly a blessing. Bob and I attend the Monday night meeting here at 7 p.m. FA has guiding principles in the literature that we read each week along with someone's lead and a topic. Alcohol, addiction, and emotional disorders is a lifelong journey, and the seasons change during the journey, as does the impact of our readings. For example, when we first came, one of the most helpful readings was the four C's. I didn't cause it, I can't control it, I can't cure it, but I can cope with it. That truly brought me peace, knowing that I can cope with this insanity. Now I can enjoy reflecting on the 12 promises of FA. Here are just the first four of the 12. Number one, we are going to know a freedom from worry and a new happiness. Two, we will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. Three, we will comprehend the word serenity. And four, one of my favorites, we will know peace. As I continue to work my own recovery, my higher power, God, continues to bless me with peace, joy, strength, courage, and unconditional love. This journey has been about the changes in me. I had to change in order to be who I need to be for Molly. I had to open my world and learn about drug abuse, learn to let go and let God, letting Molly grow, and the true power of helping. My season that I'm currently in is my role as a helper. It is not to do things for Molly, but to be things. Not to try to control and change her actions, but through my understanding and awareness to change my reactions. I will change my negatives to positives, fear to faith, hostility to understanding, and the manipulation or overprotectiveness to release with love. Not trying to make her fit a standard or image, but giving her an opportunity to pursue her own destiny, regardless of what her choice may be. This is not easy, and I work on it daily. It will never be finished, but it is always a work in progress. I encourage all of us to remain anchored in our faith, pray, trust God, be grateful, and love well, even in the most difficult times. Remember this, all people are always changing. If I try to judge them, I do so on only what I think I know of them, failing to realize that there is much I do not know. I will give others credit for attempts at progress and for having had many victories that are unknown. I too am always changing. I can make that change a constructive one if I am willing. I can change myself. Others I can only love. We also read in a book called Today a Better Way, so I have asked Bob to read page 307 on change.
Change. An addict cannot be forced to change. Change happens only when he or she reaches that point we call hitting bottom. The person then recognizes deep down inside that the pain of the addicted life is too great to be endured a moment longer. That is when the addict's recovery begins. When we, relatives and friends, come to the inner realization that the pain of our own lives can no longer be endured, and that our unproductive and sometimes insane reactions have to change, we too start to get well. Our healthier attitudes and reactions demonstrate to the addicts in our lives that they can't con us anymore. If they are determined to con anyone, it can only be themselves. We cannot bring about change in anyone else. We can only love others, detaching from their problems, but not from them as human beings. We can love ourselves enough to carry on and live our own lives, in spite of the fact that others may never choose what we want for them. Today, I will be grateful for my growing inner peace, knowing that recovery comes from within.
Thank you. I want to thank each and everyone here today. A big thank you to Orchard Church and every member of the FA Monday Night Group here in Olmsted Township. Now, if we could please join with the Serenity Prayer. What? Yes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God bless.
So like Kim said, my name is Bob. And I have the privilege not only to deal with it within our household with the addict, but I am a professional firefighter paramedic for the city of Parma for 22 years, and I also work in the emergency room at St. John Medical Center. So on a pretty regular basis, almost daily, and sometimes multiple times daily, I get to deal with the addict or the alcoholic or somebody with emotional problems. And it's tough for us in the medical field or the police department or anybody that has to deal with these people on a regular basis because we tend to put up that wall, not knowing truly what's going on inside that person's life in order to cause them for the first time to use the drug or the alcohol or whatever. So when we go on these runs on the ambulance or when they come into the emergency room, and I'll also speak for the police department because they're a lot of times our first responders before the ambulance even gets there, we put up this wall and we want to be like, oh, not again, and you know, we want to cast judgment. And luckily for our Families Anonymous group, you learn very quickly that there's a lot of things that we don't know about the person. So I've never been too big of a person on judging people, but I noticed as the opiate epidemic continued to grow, with my job as a firefighter with the city of Parma, going on these runs, we always take five guys with us when we go on these drug overdoses, and seeing the attitudes of guys almost like they don't even want to treat the people anymore, that the human factor is taken away from it. And once we started going through our journey with Molly, I had the opportunity to educate myself a lot more through Glen Bay, through Families Anonymous, through just personal research for my own to learn about the addiction process and how it truly is a disease. And with that, also on the fire department, I'm also part of a critical incident stress team. And even though that has to deal with calls that we go on, well, when we're going on these calls time and time again, it ends up doing something to our psyche as professionals, as firefighters, police, or even emergency room doctors. And your bag continues to get filled and get filled and get filled. And then there are stresses that happen in our lives, which leads sometimes to PTSD and other situations. And these same things that are happening to us could also have happened or is happening to the addict. So being part of that critical incident team, I've been able to educate myself and to learn that it is a disease and that people have problems and there's a way to deal with their problems. And when they're calling for us for help from a professional level, that we're supposed to be there to serve. I took on an oath to protect and serve. So when I go on these runs, if I choose, and a lot of our guys have taken that route, they don't want to serve anymore. They want to be served, and that's the wrong attitude to have. So with Families Anonymous, I've been able to, and our journey with Molly, I was able to teach a class, and one of my bosses is here at the meeting today, and we were able to take some of the stigma away, and it gave me an opportunity to show guys. We had done a class, and it was all based around alcoholism and addiction with Molly's picture up on a huge screen. And everybody was already making their judgments. Oh, like, she's pretty, she's this, she's that. And then at the very end, I asked the guys, does anybody know who this is? And a few guys, obviously, that know my daughter know who she is, but there's a lot of guys that don't know my daughter. And is it still working? Okay, yeah. And they didn't know. And when I said, that's my daughter, Molly, the room went completely silent. But it was a great learning experience for those guys because it could happen to any one of us at any time. So my passion has been to educate my guys and to sometimes challenge them, because just the other day I went on a couple overdoses and guys still want to make their remarks or whatever, and I have to give them a nudge on the shoulder and say, remember, Molly's an addict, Molly's an alcoholic, and it could happen to you. We don't know. And these people have heard it time and time and time again that, oh, loser, I can't believe you can't beat this, whatever words you want to put on it, when all they need from us is maybe that encouraging word, hey, you can do this, you can do this. And so that's my passion as a firefighter paramedic, is to bring the stuff that I have learned from Families Anonymous, not to judge, not to bring up their past, you know, because we do go to the same houses time and time again. But you know what? Maybe the 15th time is going to be the time. And if I'm on the ambulance and I have that opportunity to say, you can do this, then I've done my job, because it's about love, like you were saying, like my wife said, and it's about serving others.